Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, and I am here with my good friend, Amy Babinchek. Hey, Amy, good morning.
Hey, James. Good morning to you.
How are things in Michigan?
Things are awesome. I did something really fun yesterday.
Oh, please tell. Please tell.
There was a bomb cyclone, because, you know, everything needs to have a dramatic weather event name. We can't just have winds. Yeah. We have to have a bomb cyclone. So a bomb cyclone came over, and a bomb cyclone is when the weather system swirls and cold air comes driving down through the center, and it creates really exceptionally high winds and a cold thing. So really interesting. It was like 26 degrees temperature. Unless you were out in that wind, then it was like -5. Which is a huge, huge thing. So we drove to the other side of the state. We drove to the side that has Lake Michigan. And the winds were coming across Lake Michigan for 12 hours at about 40 miles an hour, creating 30-foot waves.
Wow.
So this has happened a couple times, and we've never been in the right opportunity to actually drive and see it, because they're either on the west coast of Michigan or the east coast of Canada. We have to do a little drive to get there.
Yeah.
In either case. So this time we went over to Grand Haven, Michigan, and wore our warmest of warm and driest of dry clothes. And
did you get some good, photos?
You can barely walk in that wind. Yeah, we got some good photos. It was covered in mist and ice, my whole jacket and pants and everything were just like solid ice.
Oh, I'm just in cold thinking about it. That Lake Michigan's a beast. And thinking of 30-foot waves, I mean, I can see it.
Yeah.
And then when you mix in that cold, that's a nightmare.
I mean, imagine like 3-story high waves, just one after the other after the other.
We just had that, the Canadian cold front come down, and I think they called it the polar vortex, if I remember right. And a polar vortex, and now what, the bomb cyclone, and weathercasters are getting creative.
Well, 2025, amazing. It's all about the drama.
Yeah, exactly. Got to sell the headlines.
Yep.
Hey, and speaking of headlines, so today's topic, I'm really excited to talk about this, because this is really an outcome from the AI class that Amy taught out in the MSP community, but our topic today is really AI go-to-market strategies for 2026. And we talk about AI all the time on the show, but where people are really struggling is monetizing it. You know, what's their plan moving forward to bring this to their customers? So I'm really excited about this topic today. So we're gonna pretty much dedicate all of today to that topic. But before we do, we've got some, there's not much news going on right now during the holiday season, but I saw Microsoft Copilot was in the news. What did you hear there?
Yeah, I for sure wanted to talk about just this one news item, because Microsoft reached an agreement with Anthropic to bring Claude to Copilot. Mm. So, behind the scenes, Copilot's been OpenAI, and they update that model every 6 months or so. I think it's something 5.2 or something like that. And now they have added Anthropic. And what's really interesting is this whole set of new Office agents that's out. Word, Excel, PowerPoint, they all now have a Copilot agent built in. Mm-hmm. Those are now going to be powered by Anthropic by default.
Okay.
So the cool thing about this is, when you use Copilot, your data is protected, your privacy is protected. So Anthropic's under the covers in Copilot means that it's not going to be uploaded to be, trained into the model. It doesn't have access to data that you yourself don't have access to in the environment. Respects all of those boundaries of your 365 tenant. Super good news. I love this a lot for Copilot.
Yeah, no, that's excellent news. Added security, which is much needed for sure. So excellent. All right, that's good news. Well, hey, let's dig into the topic of AI and, you know, creating a go-to-market strategy. It's, I've done countless 2026 planning sessions with customers of mine, getting them ready, and AI is part of every single one of them. Most of them are just getting up to speed of training themselves, going through training, you know, so then they, you know, can use themselves as the guinea pig. But I was really excited today to talk to you about some of the things that you found in your class. What were some of the strategies that you liked that some of the MSPs brought to the table for you?
Well, you know, at the end of the 10-week class in the last session, they all have to present their solution.
Okay.
And this isn't about how they're going to use AI inside of their MSP. It's about the service that they're going to offer to their clients. Mm-hmm. Something new, something they can bring to their clients that didn't exist before to help their clients with their use of AI. So I'm gonna run down some of the things that they came up with. And if you're an MSP listening to this, this is what your competition out there is doing. So heads up on this. The first one I wanted to mention was from an MSP that deals exclusively with nonprofits.
Okay.
So one of the challenges for them is grant writing, right? Nonprofits, they live on grants and they live on fundraising and they hire expensive grant writers. And guess what? He is developing an agent to replace and hopefully replace in a lot of cases and in major grants probably enhance those grant writers. So developing an agent that's specifically focused to his clients, I thought was absolutely brilliant.
Wow. I like that.
Another one, created a fictional hardware store so that he could use it as an example for how a business would use AI that isn't him. He'll also have his own example of how he is using it. But he's developed this fictional hardware source. He created this spreadsheet with like 3,000 items in it and different departments and things and showed how you can use AI in Excel to develop reports and find out profit ratios and underperforming products and overperforming, you know, set your pricing, you know, based on these things and get inputs from the AI models. So really, really interesting thing that he's put together there. And it's really just a demonstration because he's planning to go out and do a lot of talks in the community, right?
Okay.
Here's kind of a real world example that I created, right? That here's kind of stuff that you could do for your business. And what's going to happen with that is all those businesses are going to be starting to think like, oh, you know, that's a pretty good idea. I wonder if we can do that in our business. Right. Who are they going to call? They're going to call him.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. There's a lot of different angles you could go with that too. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. And I have another guy who's going to be integrating readiness assessments because Microsoft has published AI readiness assessments that you can do. So much like we do those security assessments or, you know, just general configuration assessments. There's also an AI assessment. So he's building those in order to generate data protection projects. So he's going to be adding data management and AI privacy to the standard set of things that his MSP does. So when he goes forward to talk to a client, right, here's all the things we do. And in there is just going to be data and AI. AI management is just part of the ordinary everyday thing that an MSP does.
Now, have you seen, let's talk about that one for a minute, because that's interesting to me. I'm pretty sure that Microsoft actually pays you money to go do these assessments, even if it's a free assessment. You don't have to charge your customer for it. They'll pay you to do it on their behalf. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I don't know when that promotion ends. I know it was going in the fall, where you could, Microsoft would reimburse you for hosting those events where you tell people about these assessments and then actually going out and do assessments, readiness assessments for Copilot, in hoping that you'll then, you know, sell those Copilot licenses to those clients.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So you Microsoft partners, look into that. That's interesting. At the last mastermind conference, we talked about that quite extensively, and it's not chump change. It's not $500. It was like $5,000 to $10,000. There's you can get some big money for doing those assessments, and there was a big bucket of money available for that. So I don't think it's a promotion that's ending at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big bucket of money just for doing the assessment, but there is a 10 times larger bucket of money for actually doing the data project
right.
that follows. Right. So you're going to sell them those Copilot licenses, but the assessment is going to be a lot about purview, privacy, data management, cycling out your old data, huge amounts of data projects that are built into that. They're just going to arise from that, right?
Yep.
That's the whole point of the assessment, is letting people know, you need to do all this. You need to do all this stuff so that you can do AI safely from this point.
Now, though, Amy just shared three great examples, and you bring these to, take these to market, take these to your customers or prospects, and these are all sold as projects, right? So these are all project sales. And then did anyone present any option or any offering that is in kind of a month of recurring revenue idea?
Yeah. So one of the guys talked a lot about integrating AI security and training as part of their monthly services that are maybe included.
Okay.
So they didn't want to make training as an add-on because they really just want it to be there so that they can push it because they think it's so critical. So they're going to put that in and also bring AI use metrics into the quarterly reports that they deliver to their clients. So the ones that are ahead of this and on the front side of the curve are going to get in their report all, you know, sorts of information about their ROI, right? Who's using it? How often is it being used? Where are we using AI? Where are we not using AI? The companies that haven't created a plan for this yet are still going to get that information and realize that they've kind of got this rogue thing happening out there that maybe they aren't doing anything with, and that could help them generate future projects too.
Now, in their pricing strategy, is this a bolt-on to what their existing offering is? And this is like an AI bolt-on, kind of like a cybersecurity bolt-on?
You know, I had people doing it both ways.
Okay.
So some are bringing it into their standard monthly plans.
Okay.
Others are planning to offer it as an add-on, which is how they currently have their things structured. So the folks that said they were doing it as an add-on sort of had like a base, a security, and now an AI, right? Yep. So they can sell one or two or three.
Yeah, I like that. And I like the creativity that they're looking at trying to do it from both angles, either as a bolt-on or just blended into what they're doing already. You know, I can just think of, you know, you just said the AI reporting part for the quarterly meetings. Most people suck at QBRs, okay? Let's be honest. They struggle with that. That's why there's been so many tools that have come out, you know, VCIO Toolbox, Propel My MSP, Lifecycle Insights, you know, with those guys. Those are three great examples of companies that kind of came from nowhere and landed on the map. And, you know, still people are struggling with these quarterly meetings. So the better, you know, we make those quarterly meetings, the stickier you're going to be in keeping these accounts over the long haul. That's what everybody wants. That's a whole purpose, and to find new business also. But I like that. That was interesting. I like the AI reporting.
Yeah, the quarterly reports are still a problem, and it's strange because they've been around for a while now, right? Yeah. You think everybody would have their head around it, but But they don't, because they're tech people and they want to talk. They want to talk the tech. They don't want to talk about the results. They don't want to talk about the business. One of the guys told me he's in a BCIO peer group, right? They're all BCIOs in this peer group.
Yeah.
And he said that the vast majority of people, and I guess together it's a pretty big group, 30 people or something. The vast majority of people that are in there complaining that they don't want to talk about business stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they expect to keep that job. Like, I guess their employers sent them there to learn how to talk about something else. But if you have it in your head, you know, this isn't what I want to do.
Yeah.
Get somebody else in that position.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. It's so important. You know, executives, the C-suite, you know, they don't want to talk techie. You know, 95% of the conversation really should be around business outcome, business impact, results. You know, you need to quantify that and have those types of conversations with these business owners, or you're going to go over their head and they're not going to want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, you can talk about techie stuff. You just got to get rid of all the jargons, explain it, and talk about things at kind of a, maybe not a 10,000 foot level, maybe a 5,000 foot level, because they do want to know what's going on and they do sort of want to understand it. They just don't need the nitty gritty details from you.
Right, right. Yeah. During my QBRs, when I was running my practice, we used to bring technology with us and use it in front of our customers, you know, from notepads, you know, communicating to our CRM live and real time, which was cool, you know, 10 plus years ago. I even brought a phone system once and just kind of showed it in the background at the end of the QBR. And it was the quickest sale, but the quickest end to a meeting I've ever had. It was a owner of a huge furniture franchise in San Diego. And we had a good QBR. And then I was trying to show him this phone system. And he's like, okay, that's really cool. Really cool. I mean, it was less than 5 minutes. He goes, I gotta go. So I go, okay. All right, no problem. I didn't think anything of it. I get a phone call the next day. Listen to this. I get a phone call the next day and he goes, hey, you know that phone thing you were showing me? I need that for all my offices. We need a new phone system anyway. I didn't tell you that. And, you know, thanks for bringing that over. And I'm like, what? You know, wow. Okay. You know,
awesome sale.
Yeah. It was all just because he saw it. You know, he saw the blinking lights and the LED, you know, the screens, and he was enamored by that. But I didn't think so at the time, because he had to hurry up and get to another meeting.
You know what? It's also because you were there and he trusts you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I didn't even know that I could have called James about our phone system. Now I don't have to go out and get all these quotes from phone system people. And James just going to take care of it for me.
Exactly. Exactly. And that, and to me, that's, everybody always says QBR or TBR. I just call it, it's a relationship visit. You know, you just want to stay sticky with your customers. You want to add value. And that's one of the ways you add value. But my hidden agenda on all of these, besides forming a deeper relationship with these guys and showing them what we're doing, is to find new opportunities. So we'd always creatively think of ways to do that. So I like that.
Yeah. I like what you said too about bringing that tech. I used to always buy my people cell phones so that I could be sure that they had the latest, greatest one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they would, you know, everybody in that room's got a cell phone and they would have the shiniest one on the table.
Yeah, the coolest one.
Yeah, and that would always generate a conversation like, oh, did you just get the new iPhone? Yeah, we got these new iPhones, you know.
And yeah.
There you are. You're off and running talking about something fun.
Well, yeah, we're in the tech space. We have to have the coolest gadgets. You know, it's one of the perks, right? Being in the channel.
Yeah. You don't want your people showing up with some 10-year-old phone and a laptop with duct tape on it. You want them to have some good shiny stuff coming in the door.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, we went down that rabbit trail, but let me reel us back in, because that was an exciting topic as well. But hey, just to kind of wrap up the AI conversation, was there any other things that you want to share with the audience about AI and what you saw your students do in the class?
You know, I was Every person in that class had their own perspective on what it is they wanted to do. So I really love seeing that there was no duplication amongst the students as to what they were planning to offer and how they were going to approach it. I think it's super smart. That means they were really thinking about their client base and their clients' needs. Mm-hmm. I had one guy in the class who was not an MSP. He works in a fairly large corporation. He's the head of the IT department there. And he's listening to us all talk about MSP this and MSP that, but he took that information in the class and building out their own internal solution. And one of the first things he found out was they were using AI all over the place. And so the very first thing he did was go around and shut it down. Block it all. He said, whatever firewall they're using, I can't remember, Palo Alto, maybe something like that. He was able to shut down all of the AI and be like, no, we're going to have an orderly rollout of this.
Good.
He got approval for a 12-week pilot program.
Okay.
Go out with co-pilot licenses and 12 weeks of training for everybody and to develop those champions across the company. So it was really, really good to see how he was going to approach it. He is also responsible for those quarterly reports internally to, push that up above when he goes to the management meetings. He has to give a report quarterly on what's happening. So, it was really interesting to see how he took the information and put that together.
Yeah, took action. And that problem is no different than the majority of CEOs out there. It's even if they have a documented AI strategy, the majority of the users out there are using tools that are unauthorized on their networks. And, a lot of the listeners, customers are in that same boat. So I like that using, the AI assessment idea to analyze what's going on and shut down what's not supposed to be happening and train and roll out what they should be doing.
Right. I will say that overall, everybody thinks that they're going to be upping the license levels for their clients. So getting them those purview tools, getting them those data management tools, because that's a really critical piece for AI that we didn't think much about before, but we need to start thinking about that now. And then I also challenge them to think about what are you not going to offer anymore? Mm-hmm. We only have so many brain cycles. We only have so many staff, unless you're going to go out and hire new staff to do your AI program. Are there things you're not going to offer anymore? How are you going to make room in the brains of your staff to handle all of this? So we didn't push on getting them to have answers for that, because that's a big, big question. But, here's a spoiler alert, guys. Next week, James and I are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about your challenges for 2026, and I'm going to bring that back up again.
Yeah, I'm excited about that topic as well. That'll be a fun one to dig into. Well, excellent. All right. Well, good news. Hey, thanks, Amy, for sharing some of the cool things that your students were doing out there in the AI class. I hope our listeners got some value. We'd love to hear from you. So how are you going to use AI? How have you thought of monetizing it? Or what's your plan for 2026? Make sure you let us know. Hit us up on the SMB Community Podcast website, or just email me at james@kernanconsulting.com. We'd love to hear from you. And I think that's a wrap, Amy, for this week. We'll see everybody next week, okay?
We'll see you then.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.